This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Let's get a read on the state of the hospitality industry. And we have the two perfect guests to do that with. We're joined by Todd English. He is master chef and partner of the English Hospitality Group. Also with us is Keith Burkhard. He is chief of staff over at the English Hospitality Group. Of course, it's a leading global operator, owner, and developer of restaurants, hotels, and nightlife venues. Great to have you both with us. And Todd, I want to start with you because I see in your notes that you're abandoning the traditional hospitality business model. What does that mean?
I think we have to, just sort of in all my years of going through the business of restaurants and owning small restaurants and then being involved with hotels and casinos and various aspects of how people dined in these various venues, I think what you're seeing in many ways is a shift in sort of the expectations of the customer. Certainly, they're pent up right now, especially coming out of pandemic, they're pent up need to be out and be social and get out of the house. And, I think maybe there's even more of an appreciation for what restaurants are doing today in the hospitality industry because, when people had to sit around for a year or 2 years without being able to go out, I think they realized, wow, we really miss this part, and we are these gregarious creatures that need to go out and socialize.
Yeah, I hear that. Hey, Todd is joining us on the phone from L.A. Keith, you're joining us from Thailand. Keith, we really appreciate you staying up late to join us here on Bloomberg Business Week. Come on in here, Keith Burkhard. You are chief of staff at English Hospitality Group. And weigh in on what you were just hearing from Todd, because I want to hear how the landscape looks right now as we are all satisfying that pent-up demand to get out there. Because, hey, as we learned today, it's still pretty hard to find employees out there for these properties.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the biggest challenges right now in hospitality. And that goes for all top tier hospitality groups, not just specific to certain ones, but really identifying what your strengths are in whatever hospitality venture you have. You have to make sure you surround it with the right amenities and amplification that the market is looking for. And that goes, not just domestically in the United States, but internationally, as Todd was saying. What areas are you focusing on, and how are you creating that consumer volume on a consistent basis?
And so, Todd, I want to go back to a phrase you used, pent-up demand. When I hear pent-up, it sort of implies a burst and then a sort of a fade. And obviously, this conversation that we're having, it's against the backdrop of a lot of recession fears. And I'm wondering, how you're thinking about the economic environment as you expand.
I mean, I think, Keith and I have this as our daily conversation on many different fronts. I mean, as far as, we were very fearful of this sort of recession or pending recession, hitting the fact that, yes, at some point, the newness or the reintroduction of being able to go out again and socialize and be in restaurants changed, obviously, the economic decrease as far as just people being afraid of spending money again and going out. So I think all those, having said, I have yet to see a lot of that slip yet, and I don't think we've seen it in even our restaurants, but, you know, we are treading very cautiously and looking at every aspect of the business. You know, I think Keith does that, you know, on a fine-tuned coat every day, you know, getting sort of the idea of getting, making sure that we're not overstaffed, making sure that we watch all our numbers very closely.
Todd, I want to go back to something that you said before we went to break, and it's the idea of not necessarily seeing softness anywhere around the world. What can you tell us about regional differences here in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. when it comes to demand, and as we do sort of get through this reopening here?
I think, well, that's a very interesting question, but I think it's split into a couple categories depending on sort of the type of cuisine, the restaurant it is, sort of the neighborhood you're in. You know, if you look at sort of South Florida now, or where, you know, in Palm Beach area, you know, obviously there's certain categories of types of restaurants. They're always going to kind of flourish because depending on the clientele, their economic situation, whether they have kids, they don't have kids, you know, that kind of thing, how that plays out and sort of what their daily average way of eating is. So, you know, I think what we try to do is diversify as much as we can in our portfolio. All the restaurants you listed are all across all categories, from, you know, from luxury to more fast casual. And I think, you know, giving people different options helps us maintain a pretty consistent business depending on what's going on in the world. We always want to have some category that will be filled in one way or the other. So
let's talk about the cannabis category, because it is
I like that transition, Katie.
Definitely caught my eye. So tell me about Last Leaf. Keith, come back in here. So as I understand it, you have mac and cheese, pasta, olive oil. Tell me about that endeavor.
Sure. So Last Leaf was kickstarted during COVID because we knew that there was a large consumer base at home, and consumers in the cannabis world did not have other optionality in the space. And we focused on primary food groups, not focusing on gummies, chocolates, and traditional, you know, cannabis consumption. Todd, you know, had a lot of connective components to cannabis throughout the years. And we said, all right, what type of products are consumers touching on an everyday frequency? And those were oils, spices, rubs, etc. And we created Last Leaf, which is cannabis-infused primary food group edible products. And we've been very successful as these touch and have a microdosing component to it, with both THC, CBD, CBN. And we know that this industry is slowly evolving, especially in the pharmaceutical industries. They see it as a threat because it comes from a natural source versus some of the inorganic compounds.
And it actually works. It actually works, we're finding, in most categories.
That's so interesting, well. Todd. I mean, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean, I just, I think also one of the ways that Keith and I always really started out with this whole idea is really the health benefits and things that we've been approached by all sorts of different categories, from doctors, from medical facilities, from children's hospitals, et cetera. So I think, you know, that's a huge category that I think is still being discovered. And I said, you know, I think that is getting played down by the big farm. You know, big pharma doesn't want to, it's getting threatened by it a little bit. And so we are big fans of those components of it as well.
Hey, Todd, when you look out across, and I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, but literally, like, you're trying to build an empire here, you know? You want restaurants, hotels, nightlife, events, ghost kitchen venues. You've got the cannabis element too here. When you look out across the different properties you have, where are you seeing the biggest area for growth?
There's still huge from the standpoint of convenience in meaning food delivery. I think that we still haven't seen that. We haven't seen that come down.
So this would be the ghost kitchen side of things.
Yeah, ghost kitchen.
But how do you replicate what you do, what people have become accustomed to visiting your restaurants? How do you replicate that in a delivery sense, in a ghost kitchen? Because it's more than just the food when you have that experience in one of your restaurants.
Wait, what is a ghost kitchen? Can we just define that first?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Todd, you want to take it away?
Well, yeah, that was started, I think, by Travis. From Travis from Uber.
Yeah, Travis Kalanick with Cloud Kitchens.
Correct, and he did Cloud Kitchens. And then, so the whole term ghost kitchens, meaning that it was a secret place that people made food. Or a warehouse that necessarily was not seen by anyone. It was just a place where they had a kitchen. So that the term ghost, not being seen.
Basically, the idea is to create it exclusively for delivery. So you have, you know, the food being made in a place that doesn't actually look like a kitchen or look like a restaurant.
Like a white label almost.
Not a restaurant. Yeah, it's just a kitchen in a warehouse, you know, with less rent and less overhead, et cetera. That's the whole idea that you could pull a truck into or the delivery guys could get in and out easily. Hmm.
So Keith, as chief of staff, how are you really leaning into this idea of delivery and creating this sort of extension of the brand?
That's a good question. Basically, what we're doing is we're partnering with really strong operators, not both in the U.S. but globally, because you need to have the right technology partner wherever you do this. But Todd has built, I would say at this point, over 100 brands in his career. So for us, this is a quick little pivot for Todd, especially to position a lot of brands on all different cuisine fronts, which makes Todd a really, really strong chef, not because he's not one-dimensional. He has multiple different skill sets. And we have approximately 9 to 15, 20 brands that we can put into these technology platforms. And also you see that, Amazon, you see Walmart, retailers, the food delivery on the grocery front is changing dramatically as well, which is interesting. And another component where Todd has already been thinking. Todd's a very interesting creature. He's 10 to 20 years ahead of everyone else in the food space.
Well, we love having you guys on. That's the voice of Keith Burkhard, Chief of Staff for English Hospitality Group. Also, Todd English, Master Chef and partner at English Hospitality Group. I really appreciate you guys taking the time and joining us this afternoon. Katie, that is going to do it for Bloomberg Business Week on this Friday, August 5th. Thank you so much for filling in for Carol
this
week.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.